You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family. Well, hi, everybody. Glenn the Geek back with you, founder of the Horse Radio Network and host of Horses in the Morning, the daily podcast for the last 14 years. Welcome to the WESA Retail Roundup. The Retail Roundup is your go-to virtual hub for all things retail. Join panel discussions, learn from webinars, share your thoughts, ask questions, and connect with your fellow community. We host a virtual event a couple times a month. We also have a regular podcast we do a couple times a month called Wisdom by WESA. Join the Facebook group. Just search for Retail Roundup Facebook, and you'll find it in there. You can join there and join the conversation. That's where we hang out a lot of the time. Today, we're diving into how mental health shows up in your store and going to share practical, approachable ways you can better support both your team and your customers and yourself while staying true to the values of your community. You know, I worked in retail for almost 10 years, and I owned a store. I worked as a consultant for a lot of stores, and that was the early days of the internet, actually. We were one of the first ones online. I know a little bit about stress when it comes to retail, so I'm looking forward to this conversation. Taylor Douglas is a passionate advocate for mental health awareness within the equine industry and CEO of Happy Horses, a purpose-driven brand working to destigmatize mental health conversations in the cowboy culture. Taylor, thanks for joining us from Canada.
Well, thank you for having me, Glenn. I really appreciate you guys having me on and letting me talk about my favorite topic, mental health.
Well, and you might be the first one. Are you in the indoor or a barn?
I'm in an indoor arena up here in Saskatchewan, Canada.
Okay, that's a first. We've never had anybody come from their indoor, so I love that. That's great. If we hear a horse whinny in the background, it's even better. So,
yeah, exactly.
That's perfect. So you were a trainer first?
Yeah, and I'm still a horse trainer. I grew up in the industry. My mom was a horse trainer, still is a horse trainer, clinician. They run a boarding facility. She rode with me while she was pregnant up until a day before I was born. So I was almost born on a horse. She had an emergency C-section. So I grew up in the horse industry in the breed shows to start with, and then graduated, got a taste of the high school rodeo, the rodeo culture, and latched onto it, competitively roped for quite a few years, and then moved into the cow horse industry, and that's kind of where I've been for the past almost 20 years until, I guess, the inception of Happy Horses.
And you're in Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
And that's in the middle of Canada?
That's right in the middle. You draw a line that's between Montana and North Dakota, right between those states. You go straight north about an hour and a half, and that's where my home is.
Big horse country?
Yeah, I mean, we're not as populated as you know, Florida or, you know, Los Angeles or places like that. So there's lots of horses, lots of Western culture, just a little bit more spread out.
I assume trail riding's big in your area.
Yeah, there's a lot of trail riders, definitely a lot of trail riders, lots of ropers, lots of, you know, Western dressage, jumpers, English. Huh. Yeah, there's a little bit of everything.
Very good. So what is Happy Horses?
Happy Horses it's an equine product brand. And I guess the reason we formed it was as much to get the word out for mental health in the equine industry, for just due to my own journey with mental health and seeking therapy and all those things. But we highlight mental health, but we have products and services to help your horses make your horses happy. So quality products and services that I stand behind that we sell to horse owners.
And what kind of products?
We've started with a mineral blend, prairie specific mineral blend, Himalayan salts, our own Happy Horses, Himalayan salts, premium salts. And those two products we've just launched actually this month in a subscription box. So you'll be able to get your door service for your horse's mineral and salt needs. And with that, we're slowly expanding our brand and products to be able to get to those people that'll help make their horses happier and healthier. And with my own training and coaching experience, we're wanting to add that value to our subscription boxes and our brand.
It's interesting because you're hearing a lot about mental health right now. You know, if you listen to any podcast you hear or any YouTube channel, you hear the ads for BetterHelp, right? And all of those services. And you just touched on the fact that, you know, your challenges, and I'm assuming that's why you tied it into Happy Horses. But, you know, it's interesting because I think that the Western and cowboy community, that's a group that hasn't talked about this a whole lot in my experience.
No, they sure haven't. Once I started speaking out about my own story, I was actually quite surprised on how many people, you know, are in the same boat. And again, I'm no counselor or psychologist or anything like that, but just me speaking about the challenges that I went through and the steps that I took to get help and to find that happiness, I guess, that I'd been looking for my whole life. You know, people really resonated with it, and lots of people. And I mean, don't get me wrong, there's definitely been some pushback as well. Some people have sent me some quite interesting messages and you know, that I'm not speaking for them, but I mean, it is what it is.
Taylor, anything you post on the internet is going to be that way. So I mean,
right. I mean, you know, when you get that negative reactions, you're definitely doing something right.
Yep.
When you're going to find those people that maybe they're not quite ready, or, you know, maybe they'll never, you know, maybe they are okay the way they are.
But, you know, you would think, you know, as a general populace, everybody's got problems and issues. I was a financial planner for 15 years. And what I said when I retired from that, and I worked with farmers, what I said when I retired from that is there isn't a family in this world that's not screwed up in some way. And I learned that because I had to deal with the kids after the parents died. And let me tell you, they might have gotten along great before parents died, but after parents died, you know, all bets were off. It was
wheels fell off.
Unfortunately, I got to see the worst of it, right? But every family has that. It's not. There's no exceptions to that rule.
No, exactly. You try to do, and I mean, I've got two boys, and you try to do your best as a parent. And I mean, reality is, we're not perfect, and we're not going to do things perfect. And you know, unfortunately, you know, they sometimes do end up with, you know, some stuff. But the biggest part with myself is having the, you know, the emotional maturity to be able to talk about it. So, I mean, if my kids did come to me and, you know, dad, you know, you did this, so-and-so, it really made me feel upset. I can say, yeah, no, I see what you're saying. And you can validate those types of things. When I grew up, that wasn't the case. It was, you know, put a smile on your face, stop crying and get back to work. So it's very much a generational, I like to say it's a generational trauma. It's not, you know, it's something that's been passed down from our grandparents to our parents to us. So, I mean, our parents as well, you know, they've done the best they could as well.
Yeah. And they probably needed help too, but you know, I don't think the resources were as available then as they are now either.
No, yeah. No.
So let's switch this to retail. Now you're in retail now, so you know, you see how this goes. And I was for a lot of years. And let me tell you, it's stressful. There's no question about it. You're dealing with employees. You're dealing with employees who also have, you know, who have issues that they're dealing with in their lives. And that translates to work, whether you want it to or not. It does bleed through there. But just running a business, you know, those 100-hour weeks and all of that stuff. And you know, then there's tariffs and there's all these things that don't seem to go right all the time, right, when you're doing this. So, you know, that burnout is real. Mm-hmm. And I had a way of dealing with it when I got burned out with something, and with my severe ADD, I just sold the business and moved on to the next thing. So that's how I dealt with it. But that wasn't probably the best way to deal with it. What do you say to people that are in that situation where you know, they're coming to that burnout phase, they're tired, and you become less effective the more tired and burned out you are. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what do you do?
Well, I guess what I did, I got therapy. I started with counseling, you know, when I was at my lowest and felt a little bit better. And then I ended up going back to therapy about 3 years ago, you know, full-fledged therapy and really working on my inner child. I don't know how many people have worked on their inner child, but I was working on my past and those traumas and really starting to listen to my inner child. And I did one exercise with my therapist about, you know, listening to what my inner child liked or didn't like. What I hated was billing, you know, doing bills. I left it I left it till the last day, and then, you know, I just, yeah, I crammed, I piled it all together, and then I did it. I hated doing it because, I mean, yeah, I just really disliked it. But an exercise I did with my therapist, you know, I kind of asked myself what would make this, you know, easier to do. And, you know, what I found out was a little bit every day. You know, do a bill every day, do, you know, one or two, whatever you're kind of comfortable with, and stick with that, because I wasn't doing myself justice, you know, plowing through those bills. And I know, you know, a person, you know, you're down to the, you know, last $1,000 in that account. So you're like, oh, I got to get these through. But, you know, it always ends up working out anyways, whether you bill, you know, you cram it all together, or you kind of space it out. I've really embraced the, have you heard of Tim Ferriss, the 4-hour work week?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I never got it to that point though.
Yeah. So I have, you know, I hit a low spot in my life a couple of years ago and a big reset. And I've been basing my life on the 4-hour work week. And to be honest with you, I can't do more than 45 minutes to an hour of book work, the stuff that I don't want to do, the book work and the social media and the billing and all that stuff. I hit about an hour, 45 minutes to an hour, and I'm done. And I really stuck with that for the past 2 years, and it's been great. I've really loved, you know, my inner child loves it. I love it. The rest of my day I spend riding horses. You know, I'm still training some horses, still doing some clinics, but getting that nice balance work life, doing what I do enjoy and doing what I don't enjoy, split that up. And yeah, it's really made things a lot nicer and easier.
Mark Twain had a saying, and then Brian Tracy, who I've also followed, you know, I kind of took this one to heart, called Eating the Frog. And Eating the Frog, have you heard that one?
No, I've never heard that one. That's a good one.
So Eating the Frog, because nobody wants to eat a frog, right? You know, especially a raw frog. You don't want to eat a frog. It could kill you. That's what a frog does. Certain frogs, especially all the frogs here in Florida, will kill you in one way or another.
Yeah.
So eating the frog is taking that worst task, the thing you don't want to do, and doing it first thing in the morning and doing one a day. You eat a frog a day. And that was his concept. And I've lived by that for 30 years now. So I try every day to eat that frog, to do the one thing that I don't want to do and get that one out of the way. It's amazing when you get that one out of the way, how much brain it leaves to do the rest of your day, because it's not nagging at you. It's just not there nagging at you. And sometimes eating the frog is not a hard thing. It's what you're talking about. It may be sending out two bills this morning, right? For me, it was filling out. I was in sales. I was good at sales. I sucked at filling out the application and then actually sending it to the company. And you would think I'd want to do that because that's how I get paid. And yet I would put it off for a week and I'd sit and look at them, and it was terrible. But when I finally read Brian Tracy, I said, okay, I need to eat these frogs. And you're right. That I agree. Do that one or two things a day, as opposed to 25 things in a day.
Yeah. My worst, I'm 40. I've done it my whole life, procrastinated until the last minute, whether it was studying or, you know, rolled into work. I mean, billing, you know, it's the same type of stuff. And it, in your head, it seems like it's a bigger task than it actually is. And actually, once you get to it, it's really not that bad.
No, it really isn't. All these things aren't that bad once you get to it, right?
And
you're right. It's that way. And with retail, there's so many things. And the problem is, you know, most small retailers are doing everything, right? They're doing most everything. They might have some employees. You know, the first thing that I did in retail that we made a mistake at is we tried to do our own billing and our own accounting. Mm-hmm. I recommend everybody get, you can't afford, anytime you get the person you need next, you can't afford it. But after you get that person, all of a sudden you're paying that person, and now you need the next one, right? In fact, you could afford it. It freed you up more time, one, to have a life, and two, to do the things that you're best at, which probably isn't accounting, right? So that's one thing, is you always need the next person before you can afford it, but hire the next person. All of a sudden you'll be paying for them, and you'll be working, you'll be growing even faster, because it frees you up more time to do the things you should be doing, not the things you have to do, right?
Exactly. It's always scary, you know, trying to get that first paycheck paid. But after that, it's easy. The money seems to appear out of almost nowhere.
Because that person is actually helping you. And if they're not, then exactly. Get rid of them, get somebody that is. But, you know, the person is actually helping you actually earn more money. It doesn't seem that way. But the accountant was the mistake we made. We tried to do it ourselves for a long time. And then finally, we took that off our plate. And all of a sudden, it was like, wow, you know, there's so much more time to do the stuff we're actually good at.
Exactly.
And, you know, this is tough, too, because your employees are going through hard stuff at the same time, right? And they're getting burned out. Not only, they're probably not necessarily getting burned out working for you, but in combination for working for you, some may have two jobs, they may have a family life that just stinks, you know, whatever it is, we're all going through stuff. And you know, what we found is dealing with that with empathy helped more than dealing with that with sternness. I don't know what you found, you know, as far as that's concerned, but.
Yeah, I mean, you're gonna attract more flies with honey than vinegar. I guess that's old saying, you know. And I don't want to compare my employees or people to horses, but I mean, I've dealt with more horses than people my entire life, and I mean, horses don't react well with sharpness or abrasiveness either. They become scared of you. So yeah, I mean, I just had an employee, you know, leave beginning of this month, and you know, it was fine. It was, you know, it's her journey. It's, you know, she's on her own path. She's, you know, maybe we weren't the perfect fit, but you know what? There's probably 100 other employees or people that will align with me. And I ended up hiring somebody else this past Friday that, you know, will handle the job, and, you know, maybe they'll be even a little bit better at it. I don't know. We'll see. But it's that whole mindset of abundance, right? There's enough for everybody. There's enough employees. There's, you know, everybody's going through their own stuff. You can't mix, you know, personal, you know, being offended that they quit. You know, it has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with them and what they want to do. I think that's something we really have to remember.
And doing that, I mean, as an employer, sometimes is hard because, you know, you always want people to live up to your level, which you're the owner of the business, so your level's here, right? And we have to accept the fact that most employees are going to be about 70% of that, right? 60 to 70% of that, I think studies show. And we have to accept the fact that they don't own this business. They don't have the personal, you know, they don't have that invested in it that you do.
No, they sure don't. They, you know, and I've always thought about it too. I mean, if I wanted somebody just like me that worked as hard or, you know, had, you know, I mean, all that stuff, they'd be starting their own business.
And you know what? I mean, we were always happy when people left us and did, because that meant they learned something with us, and that's where they were supposed to go. I'm a firm believer too, and it's happened in our lives, is that when one door shuts, it really does open the next door you're supposed to be at. Everything I did before Horse Radio Network led me to start that. Without all the experiences I had before that, I wouldn't have been able to start the most successful thing I did later when I was in my 50s, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. If somebody would have told you, and my girlfriend said this one to me, if somebody would have told you it was going to take 100 no's to reach that one yes, how fast would you ask those 100 questions?
And when I started in sales, I was doing financial sales, again, with farmers, old dairy farmers. So picture that group, okay? We all know what they're like. So, you know, we always said you'd make one sale out of 12 calls. And that's about what it was. And I am not sure that's changed a whole lot all these years later. I think for different reasons, people have more choice now and they have more ways to acquire information than they did then. You know, then it was somebody showing up at their doorstep or the news is how they learn stuff. So I think that's a little different. A couple things, too, is one of the things that we learned that we had to do is schedule our time off and then take it. No matter what was happening at the store or whatever, you just forced yourself to have a certain number of hours a week that you scheduled your time off. Just like you would write an appointment with a sales guy coming in to sell you a new product, you write it in there that you're going to play tennis or you're going golfing or you're going to play with your horse, whatever it happened to be, but you scheduled it and the employees knew you were gone. It's just, and then you did it. You had to do it, which is the hardest part. I don't know if you found that or if that's the way you work.
I'm still working on that one. I'm newly, you know, newly a company owner, and I work 12 hours a day, 7 days a week with my old job. And, you know, now I know my girlfriend would appreciate if I, you know, book some weekends.
What's her number? I'll text her. I'll call her later and tell her.
Yeah. I mean, I think she'd appreciate that. But I love what I do now. I don't feel like I need that time off. You know, everything I do, I really ask myself, does this make me happy? Does this, you know, light me up? Does this make me feel crappy? And it's either a hell yes or hell no. And what I found is I'm really finding myself enjoying every little bit that I'm doing. And, you know, I really doubt that I am going to retire from this because I just love what I do.
It's interesting, too, in retail now, part of that is marketing. It's all the things, right? It's retail or manufacturing even. It's all marketing. There's so many different pieces. But the advantage we have today, one, we have the internet. Big advantage that we didn't have when the internet had just started when we were running our retail operation. Things were tougher back then. And employees are different now. I think that situation's gotten probably a little worse than it was back then. So there's these trade-offs. But you do have access to information and to services and resources that you didn't have before. So you don't have to hire an employee to do your marketing anymore. You can hire a marketer to work part-time. You don't have to pay them. You don't have to pay their benefits. You don't have to do any of that. You can subcontract a lot of this now where that wasn't as easy before.
Mm-hmm.
And take those things off your plate, you know, and that's what you're talking about, right? Do the things you're good at and take off your plate the things that you're not.
No, exactly. I hired a social media team and marketing and yeah, they handled all that stuff for me. I'm kind of in between right now. I'm, you know, just trying to figure out what direction to go and because we are just starting to expand into the U.S. So it's whether we're going to need, you know, somebody down there or up here or I mean, right now, honestly, myself, my girlfriend, who is a co-founder and AI, we're doing my social media and marketing stuff right now. And honestly, it's some people are really afraid of the AI, but it's something that can really take, you know, make things a lot easier for you. Drop a lot of research that you don't have to do that before. I mean, it was just endless. I can just plug in, and I know, you know, there's lots of cons against AI, and I definitely, you know, it needs to have a human element to it because, you know, there is lots of stuff that get, you know, that's definitely AI. So we have to have our human touch to it. But I've really found that that's really helped myself with Happy Horses and in just helping with that marketing and social media side of things.
Our next conversation that we're having here on the show is about AI. And whether we like it or not, there are a lot of negatives, as you said, to AI. But in 5 years, if you don't know AI, you're not going to have a job. And our businesses are going to look completely different, whether you like it or not. You know, if you're totally against it. By the way, we had the second website online back in the day for selling horse stuff. We were the second ones, and I just knew. You know, a lot of people felt the same way about the internet back then that they do AI now. They felt the same way. And I just knew that it's not going away. So either I embrace it, and then if you didn't embrace it, where were you, right? So It's the same way with AI now. So I totally agree with you. It's a tool. It's just another tool.
Yeah, exactly. And we've already incorporated AI at a gal that specializes in AI, how to make it work. And she already got started with our website and our Shopify store, our e-commerce store, just starting to integrate that type of stuff now, rather than, you know, we get, you know, 5-10 years down the road and we better implement this because it looks like it's gonna help things.
Are you finding that they're doing a good job?
Yeah, no, for sure. It's, you know, it's just getting it set up and, you know, doing what it's supposed to do and away we go. I haven't had any issues yet, but I mean, everything's going to have its bobbles. Everything's going to, you know, you're going to have some roadblocks and doors closed. But that's the fun part about what I'm doing and why I enjoy it is I like those, you know, the up and coming technology and those types of things.
Well, and speaking of mental health, AI as a tool can help you get many hours back. I know with us here doing all the shows we do, we put out 80 episodes a month of 35 different shows. Now with AI, I've gotten hours of my week back that I can do the fun stuff. I don't have to stress over just because it's a tool that helps us save time. That's what it comes down to. It just helps us save time. So we'll talk more about that. I was interested. I'm glad to hear you say that, actually. So getting back to the Western culture and mental health, what have you found helps get through that barrier in what you're doing?
Just speaking about it. The more I talk about it, the more I post about it, the more people I have reach out to me and, you know, share similar stories or, you know, thank me for sharing. Or, yeah, it's just destigmatizing, like everything. The more we talk about it and the more people feel comfortable around you to talk about it, the more it gets out there. And, you know, it's, you know, I've talked to hundreds of people at least about mental health just coming up in conversations. And I mean, those people are a little bit more comfortable, so they'll go talk to, you know, their friends and, you know, people they deal with and say, you know, it's not that bad to talk about this. It's okay not to, you know, go bury our feelings in, you know, down deep and, you know, all those great ways of dealing with, you know, our emotions that are very unhealthy.
It's so much easier now to get help with mental health than it was before too. And, you know, you have the BetterHelps and all the different services like that. It used to be you had to go lay on the couch an hour away at the doctor's office, right? And it's not that way anymore. So I think that's another thing that's become easier to get help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Heck yeah. It's, and you know, where my journey started was with my general practitioner, my doctor. She, you know, I went into the office and I said, I don't feel happy. I never feel happy. You know, it's not good. And I don't like how I feel. And honestly, you know, a lot of people are against pharmaceuticals and going on prescriptions, but I went on something because there was literally a chemical imbalance in my brain. So it's, you know, it's one of those things. Yeah, we can talk about it all we want, but sometimes there is an actual issue, you know, as a chemical imbalance. Like yourself, I have ADHD as well. I didn't realize I had ADHD until 3-4 years ago. So I'm on a prescription for that as well. And it's totally changed my life. And again, I've gone to therapy and counselors. And one thing I do want to note, there is a big difference between a counselor and a therapist. You know, our therapists are going to really reach and work on, you know, us, ourselves, where I found the counselors for me just kind of help you get through the tough stuff.
By the way, for two guys with ADD, we waited a whole half an hour. So that's amazing.
Exactly, because, well, we're interested in what we're talking about. That's the biggest thing. As long as I can find something I'm interested in, I'm good.
Squirrel.
If I'm not interested, yeah, see you later.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I wish that it wasn't even talked about when I was in school, right? I mean, this, in quote unquote, didn't exist in anybody's mind. I wonder how more successful I would have been had I been able to get help earlier. Yeah. I don't know.
But I mean, that's our journeys, right? That's, you know, I don't regret, you know, yeah, maybe I wish I would have got help sooner, but it wouldn't have made me the person I am today.
Because you had the life experiences you had to have to get you to this point, even if they sucked.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I've definitely gone through it and had some very low times in my life, but I mean, I think that's what makes us special and that's what makes us who we are. Yeah, I mean, I've had some tough times, but, you know, in those tough times, I think that's when those best ideas come out. When you've got a cushy life, sometimes, you know, you're not hungry enough to get those good ideas of you know, what you really want and what's really going to work. I find that's when those good ideas come to the surface, is when you're hungry.
Well, Taylor, are your products at Happy Horses available for retailers? Are they available on wholesale? And I know you're looking for a distributor in the United States right now too, right?
Yeah, we're just moving into the U.S. I've got some distribution in Canada, and we've gotten our feet wet and kind of figuring out how to make things work on a little bit smaller scale. Yeah, and I mean, we're looking to move into the U.S. with Happy Horses and our products. I know I'm going to be able to tailor all our products to specific regions for specific soil and water types, because I know firsthand that works the best, because one size doesn't fit all for everybody's soil and water. Lots of horses in different areas are lacking different types of minerals, and the same as the salt. And as we expand in other products, that's we're definitely open to working with different wholesalers.
Where do people find you? What should they do to contact you?
You can email me info@happyhorses.ca. You can jump on our Facebook at Happy Horses 333. Our Instagram's the same, at Happy Horses 333. Or TikTok, if you want to message me through TikTok as well.
All right, very good. And I'll put all those links in the show notes for today's show. Thank you for joining us and talking about a topic that, you know, not a lot of people want to talk about, but I hopefully that gets better. And that more and more people are talking about it. It is stressful. I'm just living today in this world stressful, right? And then you add owning your own business and all of that to it, and it just adds to it. I mean, just, it's tough. You know, it's not.
It is. One thing I do, Glenn, sorry to interrupt you.
No.
If you want to take a lot of the world stresses away, just turn off your news.
I don't watch it at all. Yeah, that's sick. Yep, that's it.
It definitely helps me.
Yeah. I think you want to, as you're younger, you absorb all of that stuff because you think you have to. And then eventually you get to the point in life where you go, I don't need that in my life anymore.
No. What's the next crisis?
Yeah, exactly. And we've been through a few.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us today. We appreciate you being here, and thank you for listening. Also, you can find us on Facebook. Just look for the Retail Roundup. And to watch the Retail Roundups, you can go to Wessa's Trade Show YouTube channel. You can also go to the website at wessatradeshow.com. We thank you, everybody. We're here every Thursday. We're here every other Thursday. And then the Wisdom by Wessa podcast is here the other Thursday. So there's an episode for you every week on the Wisdom by Wessa feed. And thank you again to Sophia, who's sitting in on this and who helps us put all of this together. We appreciate her so much. Taylor, you have a good one. Be safe.
Thanks, Glenn. Appreciate it. You too.